Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Josh Costell is here as well. Josh is the author of The Science of Sales Success. He's one of our Brain Trust's top sales experts. He founded Applying Knowledge Systems, which is a consulting and training firm for sales professionals. And he spent a lot of years helping companies and individuals put their best foot forward when they go into the marketplace. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you here. Josh, I know one of the things you want to talk about today is what to do on a first meeting sales call. And I really think it's important that when we train people, that we actually walk them through the steps of how you get to a customer, including sometimes just picking up the phone and maybe making the appointment or whatever. But you want to talk about the first meeting sales call, and I think that's so important to talk about that. Because, and before we do that, I want to get you to talk to us for a minute about something that I wrote about this week, and that is call reluctance. And you know, before you can make the first meeting sales call, if you have call reluctance, you got to get over it, don't you?
Right. And typically when you look at call reluctance, Jim, it's because someone doesn't feel like they have a valid business reason to call someone. And the challenge I think salespeople have is that when they're calling up someone for the first time, you have to let that person know that they were selected for legitimate reasons and not just because they had a pulse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you've done what I like to refer to as evidence or research, that the phone call that you make to a customer, they know within 30 seconds, this is not the same phone call that you made to the 30 people you called before, and it's not going to be the same phone call that you make to the 30 people you call after them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and some of the ways to do that is depending on what you're selling, and as you're well aware, a common theme that I work around is making sure you understand the customer's goals. And that's what will distinguish you from other phone calls. In other words, to show evidence or research on and get over call reluctance is that, number one, you have to make sure that you understand what are the typical goals that a customer would want to achieve, and that's what you should be talking to them about. You should show that you've done research on, you know, something specific about their company. In other words, if you have something that can help them increase sales, then you should be able to talk to them about the rate of sales their company had over the last 2-3 years and so on.
Well, and that's where the research comes in, and you know, a lot of people might be thinking, well, wait a minute, if we just have found out about these people, we haven't been able to call on them, how do I know all that stuff?
Okay, and the way that you know that, Jim, the typical question that you hear, is that if you believe in market segments, and I'm a firm believer in market segments and niche marketing, then by definition, a market segment is a group of customers that respond the same way to the same offer, which is another way of just really saying that they share the same goals. And let me give you an example. If you're going to call up, say, the director of engineering for a hospital, okay, you know right away that one of his goals is to ensure patient comfort. So no matter what director of engineering for what hospital you call up, you could be pretty confident that they want to do things that are going to increase patient comfort. And if you have something that can do that, you have a way to talk to them, right? You know, saying, hey, we have some sort of solution that can impact patient comfort. And you really understand, you know, one of the things that you have to do to get over call reluctance is that you have to ask the question, am I thinking like the person I'm calling? Can I think like a director of engineering for a hospital? Can I think like the purchasing manager for a furniture store? Whatever that person you're calling on, you have to say, am I thinking the way they are? Can I relate to them from their perspective and not mine?
We have to get comfortable with ourselves that we have as much empathy for what they're going through as possible, so that we can sort of relate to what they're dealing with, and that comes across when we talk to them, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Or if we don't have it, that also comes across.
Yeah, really. And one of the ways to make sure that you have empathy, Jim, is when you do get a meeting with someone, one of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure that you understand. And I often, you know, the thing that surprises me as I've been around the world and been on sales calls is that I'll ask the salesperson, tell me what the purpose of this meeting is, this first-time meeting. And inevitably, it comes back to the salesperson telling me, well, I want to qualify the customer whether they can buy my product. And I say to him, well, that's what your expectation of the meeting is, but tell me, what is the customer's expectation? Mm-hmm. And you get this, you know, quizzical look on their face, and they normally salespeople don't really take the time to ask the customer. And I find that the best thing to do is just, you know, a couple of ways is, number one, if you're not sure what the meeting should be about from the customer's standpoint, I find one question works great, and that is, ask the customer, when we meet next week, what would you like to get out of our meeting that would make you feel it was a great use of your time?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talked about earlier is something that's very important, and that is you talked about sectors. And,
right.
You know, one of the fortunate things that happened to me in my life was that I spent a lot of time making sales calls, especially in the early part of my career, in a lot of different industries. And I tried to be a sponge. Whenever I was in a hospital office or a manufacturing office or wherever it might be, I was a sponge for whatever they were saying were their challenges, because I knew that as I worked with other customers and prospects in that sector, that was going to help me to do a better job for those customers.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. And one of the things that you can do is, as you learn from your customers, what are the key issues? When you go to meet new customers where you're making that first phone call and you have call reluctance, there's no better way to have confidence than to start off your conversation by saying, one of the reasons why I'm calling you up is that there's been some new trends in your industry affecting whatever that position is,
mm-hmm.
and then you relay that to the customer, or like you said, things that you picked up from your other customers in that market segment.
Well, and what your company is doing about that, and we're going to get Josh to continue that part of the conversation with us right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us.
And balanced on the precipice, the moment must reveal.
We're back. It's 23 after. A little Steely Dan instrumental there to get you revved up this morning. Would you like to have a cure for the common sales call, folks? Well, here it is. It's called The Science of Sales Success, an outstanding book by our good friend Josh Costell, our guest this half hour. Josh, give us your website, please.
The website is www.MeasureMax, MeasureMax.com, and MeasureMax stands for Measure to Maximize.
What do we find when we get to your site?
What you'll find is the various services we provide, and more important, the key issues that salespeople and sales managers are facing, and some different remedies to address them.
All right, and they can find out more about your book there as well?
Absolutely, or go to Amazon.com.
All right, and the last name is Costell with two L's on the end. Josh, let's talk about now that we've gotten over our call reluctance, we've made the first call to make the appointment. Now we're in front of the customer. We've just walked in, and we've shaken their hand, and we've gone through a couple of 10 seconds of niceties and all that sort of thing. Now we're ready to get down to business. What do we do? What's the next step?
Well, what the next step is, Jim, depends on what we did before. And what I suggest is that after you make your phone call, you come up with an agenda, and especially in, with clients and customers being busy these days, you just say, by the way, do you have an email? What I like to do is send you a typical agenda of items that we found that, you know, our customers like to cover during the first meeting, also some things that I would like to cover. And what I'd like for you to do is, you know, between now and when we meet, is if you could just look at it, just edit it, add it, delete things.
Josh, that sounds like homework.
You know what, Jim? It is. It is. It's the day of just walking in cold. I think it has become a thing of the past, because what you want to do is, you know, it's kind of interesting when you talk about homework, is that we used to judge salespeople. I always remember this, is that we always said the best salespeople were the ones that can think on their feet, that can handle objections or obstacles that are thrown up to them. Except when you start challenging that, you know, that premise, is that you find out that most obstacles that come up are the ones that you create. And now the shift is that the salesperson, you know, the best ones are considered the ones that become most prepared and minimize the number of obstacles that come up by their preparation.
Mm-hmm. And, well, one of the do you think today outside salespeople make fewer calls than they did, say, 20 years ago?
Yes, they do.
Because and that's the way the marketplace has moved, isn't it? I mean, in 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was carrying a kit bag around, Josh, and you were too, you made a lot of calls. It was definitely a numbers game, wasn't it? But today, it's numbers. The math is still the same, but the amount of the numbers are lower, and the quality has got to go up, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you know, and I've seen different statistics on this, that the average sales call, and what I mean by sales call, we'll say physically being in front of someone,
right,
it is now somewhere around $500 a sales call.
Wow.
And so that means good, bad, or indifferent, it just costs you $500. It's sort of like when Clemens pitches, I think his is $500 a pitch, whether it's a strike or a home run. You know, so we kind of have a little bit of that ourselves. And that's why, you know, and there's another reason, and I empathize with the salespeople out there, is that the CRMs, you know, the advent of CRMs, you know, customer relationship management and Salesforce automation, for the most part, they've become reporting systems and not selling systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has taken salespeople out of the field also.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you know, you have various products, and, you know, I don't want to go into them by name, but,
you're talking about the computer software.
Yeah, the computer software that tracks calls, and you enter customer information into it, and it's a great basis, except that the challenge that companies have is how do you take what appears to be a reporting system and turn it into a selling system, because salespeople reluctantly use reporting systems, and by reporting systems, I mean where they're tracking activities.
Right.
They will use software that really actually helps them make a sale. But yet, if you talk with salespeople, most of the time I call it the world's most expensive electronic toll booth. you know, the software programs, because basically the only time that the salespeople use it is when they have to book a job.
Right.
Because
so basically, Josh, listen, we got about 30 seconds. Let's wrap. Basically, you're saying make sure you do your homework. Make sure that the customer knows why you're coming before you come there. It shouldn't be a surprise, should it?
No. And in my book, Jim, I go into a lot of detail into how to do that. And while you talked about homework, if you set it up for a market segment, you set it up once, and you get the beauty of a market segment is you get to reuse it over and over again.
Right. It's repeatable. That's the key to successful selling, isn't it? To do something that's
absolutely
repeatable. Like a golf swing. Hey, Josh, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time, please.
It's measuremax.com.
And the book is
MEASUREMAX. SalesSuccess.com.
The Science of Sales Success. That's the book. Thanks, Josh. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Have a terrific day.
You
appreciate
too.
It. Bye now.
Break. Right back with Jane Howard. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.